Joe Boyle and Tony McNamee Sr. are with me in studio now as we continue with our programme tonight. Joe, your thoughts on what's been happening at Finn Park. Did this appointment come as a surprise to you?
Yeah, it's disappointing for Kevin. Look, it's somebody who's been at the club for a long, long time. You know, you can see in the couple of articles in the papers where he's really, really disappointing. When you lose a manager, when a manager loses his job, is always disappointing, and I can understand that. But when you look at the league table and you see that there's only been 5 victories this season, you can understand where the board's coming from. And you heard Ian there earlier in the show speaking about the fans weren't turning up. So from a club point of view, you can see that. But from a personal point of view, and knowing Kevin so well down through the years since he was a youth player that played for me, he'd be really, really disappointed because he has put his heart and soul into the club. So I do understand that. You know, it's exciting times now when you have that disappointment, you're looking to move forward now with the arrival of Patrick McElhenney. And again, I would know Patrick, similar to Kevin, from playing through his career and watching him play and that. So when you look at, he's been part of one of the best teams ever in the League of Ireland in my time watching League of Ireland football. You know, if he can bring some of the good practices that comes from that Dundalk team that he played in, and when you look at his career then, about the amount of trophies that he's won in the games, like he's played over 500 games in the league, you know, that's a huge wealth of experience. But that's as a player. He's coming in now as a coach into a team that's bottom of the league, so he will be tested over the next couple of weeks. But you can hear there in his interview that in his own quiet way, Patrick, you know, he was an exciting player. Hopefully he'll bring a little bit of excitement back to Finn Park. And you know, as it was mentioned earlier in the show this evening, it's top against bottom. And when you look at Cork over the last couple of weeks, they've had a bit of a shaky period where they've lost 3 matches on the bounce. So, you know, you're looking for that new bounce. You're hoping that the players get that new bounce that you get. You often hear about it. So it's really, really important for Patrick and the players this weekend, and that there'll be a little bit of energy. You know, it was disappointing, but, you know, when you look at Cork, they've conceded a few goals over the last couple of games where they've been beaten. So you're hoping that Hearts might have a little bit up front that they can do that, and the arrival of Kieran Harkin coming in on the pitch will be a great boost for them in the middle of the field as well. A man is coming with 250 games played in the League of Ireland. So a lot of things that has happened, a lot of disappointment, but again, you've got to go into Friday night and you'll be hoping that the fans will come out and support Patrick and the team. And I think it's really, really important because they go into it a week where they've got a Cork, Longford and Bray in the next 7 days. So, you know, they need all the help they had. 2 of them games away from home. So, you know, going into Monday and going into next Friday, it'd be great to get something out of the Cork game. Would we take a 0-0 here? Absolutely, we'd take something. Any positivity for the players, particularly going into two difficult away games.
Yeah, and because Harps drew with them towards the start of the season as well. Tony McNamee, I'm conscious of the fact that young Tony is team captain, very much part of the first team setup, but they've been struggling, Tony. They really could do with a few good results and try and lift themselves away from the bottom of the table.
Yeah, definitely. As everybody says, the table doesn't lie. I know it's not nice anybody losing their job or their position, but the results counts, and a new man came in who I know personally very well, and as Joe said earlier, if he does anything compared to what he had in his playing career, you know, even a quarter of it, I think he can move them up a wee bit. You know, it's hard with the transfers more or less over, no more signings apparently.
Yeah.
Kieran Harkin as a defensive midfielder is probably something that they were really lacking as well.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and hopefully tomorrow night we can get a bit of a boost out of all of this, and he will have the respect of that playing squad, Joe, given the fact that he's had such a brilliant playing career himself. First step into management, yes, but a wonderful player.
But he's a wonderful lad as well. You know, I know Patrick from when he was 16, 17 years of age, and he always had that respect in the dressing room when he walked in as a player, and when he played as well, he played with a very, very unique style. You know, there wasn't many people who could carry off what he did. And when he comes into the dressing room and he sits down and speaks with the players, I would imagine this week training's been hard for them for the first session that they've had after getting that news, because, you know, players and their managers, whether it's top or bottom of the league, does have a bond. But I would imagine by Friday evening, hopefully by 7:45 on Friday evening, that there'll be a good roar at Finn Park as they come out onto the pitch, and that the players can have something. And as I said, at the minute I would take a 0-0. I would really. I would love to see them maybe get something. And again, you go into it, you know, UCD put five past Cork, so there is issues there. There was a couple of ones went past them as well in the Bowes match. And again, when you look at Harps, the last time they were in Balbuffet, it was 0-0. And you look at that from the Cup game last year, you know, we got beat 3-0 and that game was over quite early. We're not in Turner's Cross this week, we're in Finn Park. And I think that's huge, huge for the team to take on board this week and try and build on that, going into two very difficult games away to Longford and away to Bray.
And of course, it's a double weekend of fixtures because it's the bank holiday weekend. Harps are in Longford on Monday. Tomorrow night's match, Harps against Cork, kicks off at 7:45. It's one of five games tomorrow night. There are two games in the Premier Division as well, Joe. And I suppose Sligo Rovers are one of the sides involved tomorrow night. New manager on board as well in Darren Purse. Interesting to see how he's going to settle in.
Yeah, look, he came in last week and they were just a couple of minutes away from getting a really big 3 points, and they ended up conceding late against Drogheda. Now they're against their loud neighbours this week down in Dundalk.
Yes.
And Dundalk have done really, really well. You know, they've really turned things around. It's been very, very positive. A difficult night for Sligo going down there. But again, I would say Darren might take a point, but he probably at the stage now where he starts, he's looking and he needs 3 points. So from a Sligo point of view, they're running out of games and they've got to really look at trying and get second from bottom. Ideal would be get third from bottom, but the momentum that's in there with Waterford at the minute, and they really have the momentum at the minute. And, you know, last week, it would have been a big, big result for them to try and beat Drogheda. And I'm sure Kevin Doherty was going back up the road, a relieved man, to get 1 point, and that Sligo hadn't put a dent into their lead on them.
Yeah. Whatever about the first division, the Premier Division has been fascinating, hasn't it? There's so many teams thereabouts up challenging Shamrock Rovers and capable of closing in on them. Derry City returned to action on Sunday. Now, we know they're in a bit of bother tonight in that European tie, trailing 1-0, trailing 2-0 on aggregate. Big game on Sunday again. All of a sudden, there's a quick turnaround. They're away to St. Pat's. A big performance and a good result needed.
Yeah, for both teams. You know, Stephen Kenny's under pressure there, because I know at St. Pat's, they were definitely looking to be closer to Shamrock Rovers this season. And for Derry, if they do go out tonight, which it looks at the minute that they will, and we're keeping an eye on the scores as the game goes on. So for Derry, if they go out tonight, it's a quick turnaround to go again, you know, to be going again on Sunday, and away to Dublin, away to a Pat's Gate team that will be sitting waiting in the wings for them all weekend, had the week to prepare, as where Derry has got a really, really quick turnaround. So, you know, a big couple of days for Derry and for Tiernan.
Tony, you're with us tonight as well to chat about the success at the Carriages Cup with the Finn Harps Down Syndrome futsal squad. What a team. Nobody can match them, Tony. It's three national victories.
Four out of five.
There you go.
It started off in 23 around September, and it was semi-finals and final. We beat Dundalk 6-1 in the final. And the following April, we played Dundalk again. Now, first of all, before I say that, Celtic Foundation and Donegal Down Syndrome, we run a program, and most of these boys were playing nearly every week.
Yes.
And probably some of the other clubs hadn't really got started, so we were ahead of them. But the second game we played Dundalk in the final, it was 4-3, so they were sort of catching up a wee bit. The third time we played Dundalk in the final again, and they beat us in penalties. But the fourth competition we won, and last Sunday, like, we played six, and we won the six games. And, you know, we have three internationals in the team: David Crawford from Donegal Town, Daniel O'Reilly from Letterkenny, and Hughie Sweeney from Gador. And I haven't been to Italy yet. Now, they've been in Italy the last 2 or 3 years, but you can see it live. And me personally, I would start the three of them every game, but I'm not the international manager. But no, it's a great buzz for them. It's a great buzz for their parents, even their siblings, like Daniel O'Reilly's brother Connor was in university and scholarship in America, and, you know, him emulating what his brother did by, say, playing for Ireland and different things. It's unreal. It's a great feeling.
Brilliant, Joe. The work that's going on with players at underage and being able to bring them onto the national stage like this, and for them, as you say, Tony, you can imagine the fun and excitement they're getting out of it, and their families as well, Joe.
Yeah, look, I was very fortunate when I worked with the FAI in 2003, being part of the football programme for the for the World Games. You know, that was one of the highlights of my career, and one of the things that, from a point of view as a coach, you know, they challenge you just as much as your international under 17 players at the time. And to see the boys working at that level at this now, and to have three internationals coming through and staying there at that level for as long as they have, and over 4 years, that's a remarkable achievement for Tony and for the players and for the commitment of their families as well, to keep turning up every week. And, you know, it's demanding on the families, demanding on the players and demanding on the coaches. But, you know, to be coming back with national titles, that's nothing to be sneezed at. And it's a huge, huge achievement for the players and for the coaches.
Yeah, and continuing the training and continuing the matches, Tony, I'm sure.
Yeah, we still train every Saturday. Train the RF.
We have from 5 years of age. We started 5 years of age to 11, one group, and then 12 to 17, another group, and then adults. And, you know, first of all, I'm going to say that, you know, a very good friend of mine, Danny Ferry from Dunfanaghy, is also a coach. So we all help each other. And then the volunteers that come every week, you know, giving their time. But I'm going to give really, Enda Nichols of Arena 7, since we started, every year he has either the Gardaí sitting at the Clanree and bringing us in, and having staff plus customers standing out in the road, clapping them, getting in. Now I have a few videos, I must send one, and they're, honest to God, they're absolutely buzzing.
Yeah.
And it's great for myself and Danny as well. Not the prestige of winning, just working with them. I did a lot of coaching my time.
Yeah.
And they're characters. We have three girls for the first time. We're the only team that has three girls, you know, and we did fantastic.